Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation, to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. That's just the beginning of what's going on in the world in which we live. Ladies and gentlemen, you could read it from Genesis to Revelation. The same living God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God we have a roadmap into destiny. Thank God we understand and know the heart of the Father when he looks at the earth and sees it in its present condition. We have turmoil all over the world right now. I want to start locally in the city of Los Angeles. This is a news report. Not only can you read it, but you could watch it. It's absolutely 1,000% accurate. Rat-infested mountains of rotting garbage are piling up in Los Angeles and may spur disease epidemic. That's right. Mountains of rat-infested, uncollected garbage are piling up in Los Angeles, and experts are afraid that they may spur on an epidemic of disease that could have been prevented. The trash has been abandoned by the city and attracts rats, which can carry fleas that spread diseases like typhus. And this is a report from NBC4 Los Angeles, found that the business of the trash business, they're just not keeping up with this. I mean, they're just not wanting to deal with the rat infestation that's going on. And one woman said, I can't walk down the street without thinking that a flea could jump on me. And her name was Estella Lopez, and she's a local business leader. One study found that Los Angeles is the second most rat-infested city in the country, with New York lagging behind in third place, but Chicago coming out on top with a first-place finish. Trash and food waste attracts rats, said UCLA infectious disease specialist Dr. Jeffrey Klausner. It does pose a public health risk. Now, an NBC reporter said they spoke to the mayor, Gil Garcetti, about the garbage in October 2018, and it was cleared away by the city. But after that initial cleanup, the garbage has begun to collect once again. Klausner said that the rat and garbage problem in Los Angeles ranked among the worst he's seen in the third world. Celebrity Dr. Drew Pinsky predicted in 2018 that Los Angeles was headed towards a typhus epidemic and even a plague. He added that there would likely be a panic with officials killing wild animals, too. It'll be a big panic, he said, when they should be doing something right now, but they won't. They'll want and wait till the panic. So the mayor declined to be interviewed by the news team for the follow-up report. What a sad, sad day when a city in the United States of America is piling up rat-infested mountains of rotting trash. And you know where it's coming from when you look at the news report and the video on this. It's coming from the homeless that are gathering along the streets, and it is so sad to see a human being building their little tent house right in the piles of trash. And yet these are city blocks of trash with rats and fleas and everything else. You would see that in a third world country. Chicago, New York, now Los Angeles, number two. Absolutely amazing, but it should not be surprising. We are also seeing that right now that there are 6 dead in an Indonesia riots. Government restricts social media. So what's happening in Jakarta, Indonesia? 6 people have died in election rioting in the Indonesian capital, authorities said Wednesday, as supporters of the losing presidential candidate burned vehicles, battled police, and the government announced restrictions on social media. The clashes began Tuesday night when supporters of former General Prabowo Subianto tried to force their way into the downtown offices of the election supervisory agency and have continued unabated since then. More than 24 vehicles were burned as rioters took over neighborhoods in central Jakarta, throwing rocks and Molotov cocktails at police who responded with tear gas, water cannon, and rubber bullets. Subianto, a volatile ultra-nationalist politician, has refused to accept the official results of the April 17 election and instead declared himself the winner. The election commission on Tuesday said President Joko Widodo, the first Indonesian president from outside the Jakarta elite, had won 55.5% of the vote, securing the moderate technocrat a second term. Subianto, an elite figure from a wealthy family connected to former dictator Suharto, also lost to Widodo in 2014. He has made 4 unsuccessful bids for the presidency since Suharto was ousted in 1998. Sounds like Hillary Clinton. Well, anyways, this is a mess. And what I'm looking at in the article with the burning vehicles, the riot police, there are over 40,000 police officers dressed for battle. Actually, the government has deployed some 50,000 police and soldiers in Jakarta in anticipation of protests following the official election results. So a massive rioting going on in Indonesia, mountains of rotting trash, drawing rats and fleas and the potential for a plague and pestilence in major cities across the United States of America. The divisiveness going on within our political arena still continues on here in the United States. And on top of all that, here we go again. 30 twisters flooding lead to Midwest deaths, and forecasters say brace for more. A weather emergency continues to unfold across the Midwest after more than 30 tornadoes touched down across the Plains states. Floodwaters are rising across the region as rescue crews work night and day, pulling people to safety. At least two deaths have now been blamed on the severe weather. Violent twisters damaged homes and businesses, and intense rain brought catastrophic flooding and trapped many in their homes. 5 feet of water has been reported in some places. In Tulsa, one man was pinned by a falling tree before being rescued. Part of I-40 was shut down due to flooding, and several railroad tracks were submerged. Heavy snow melt from the north and significant rain have also led to major flooding in Missouri. Missouri's governor, Mike Parson, declared a state of emergency due to flood concerns. He said, "The very heavy rainfall yesterday and today, combined with saturated soil and very high water levels on many rivers and streams, have created dangerous conditions around the state." So the storm system spawned dozens of tornadoes across several states. Mangum, Oklahoma, took a direct hit. Someone said, "We could feel it sucking stuff out, but we had no idea of it." A tornado reported near the Tulsa International Airport damaged about a dozen homes. Someone said, "I felt like I was lucky to be alive. While I was in my room, I couldn't get nobody on the phone. I don't know. Maybe I was in the tornado. I don't know. Nobody would get on the phone. I kept yelling for help." Some have lost all that they owned. Someone said, "We got nowhere else to go now. I mean, we put all of our money into this house, and now we're here. We gotta figure it out." In Wheatland, Missouri, storms flipped campers and demolished a racetrack grandstand. Forecasters are predicting the dangerous weather will continue into this week. "We may get another round of severe weather, more tornado activity," said Joe Bastardi of Weather Bell Analytics. "We do have tornado watches out in Arkansas, northeast Oklahoma, and that may be spreading into Missouri and Illinois. Meanwhile, out west, heavy snow blanketed parts of Colorado. Uncommonly cold air, major snowstorm for this time of the year in the Colorado Rockies," Bastardi explained. "They're going to be skiing Memorial Day out there. Denver, with 3 to 6 inches of snow, and the western Dakotas are getting blasted with a snowstorm also." Meanwhile, President Trump has issued a major disaster declaration for 13 counties in Missouri that suffered damage by flooding earlier this year. So what are we looking at? What are we hearing? What's it all about? Well, obviously, we have a nation in turmoil, and it's not just a nation. It's all over the world. And this is the word of the Lord. This is the biblical wisdom that has been given to us by the prophets, by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the world, the apostles. This is the word of God, that in the last days there would be wars and rumors of wars. There would be tension and turmoil and racism everywhere. And we have a growing division, and we know that a house divided cannot stand. So why do we continue to say it? Ladies and gentlemen, we continue to say it because it has to be heard. There has to be an understanding through all the propaganda. And you do have to understand that there is an avalanche of propaganda that is being spewed out over the minds of the masses around the world. And that propaganda is blinding and just covering people's minds. So the spirit of truth in the word of God must go forward to keep the mind awakened, lest one fall into the predicted great apostasy that's coming upon the earth. Before I go any further, my dear friend from Australia is calling in today. Daniel Seckham is on the line. Good morning, Daniel. How are you today, sir?
Very well, Brother Vincent. It's a pleasure to be on the phone.
Well, good to be on the phone with you as well. We're just talking about all the things going on in our country and different places around the world. And Daniel, I'm sure that you have something very important to share with our listeners today. So what is on your heart, sir?
Well, there's a lot to talk about. I think if it's all right for me to start with my own country, I mean, our own country had a political earthquake over the weekend, which parallels the 2016 presidential election. In fact, there's so many parallels, it's quite funny. But basically, we had a dramatic upset, a huge upset. All of the polls All of the polls except for one, and the majority, all of the talking heads on the media were all backing the leftist party, which is the equivalent of the Democrat Party here in Australia. They're called the Australian Labor Party. Everyone was backing it. Everybody was tipping Bill Shorten to become the next prime minister. It was like a done deal. Even the exit polls came in favoring a Bill Shorten victory. But lo and behold, Scott Morrison, who is a born-again Christian, by the way. Scott Morrison is a born-again Pentecostal Christian. Lo and behold, the people spoke. The forgotten man, the little guy, stood up to be counted. And we saw a tremendous landslide. We saw a tremendous landslide to the coalition government, which saw Scott Morrison retained as Australia's prime minister. So it's really, really exciting. I kind of had premonitions back. I remember back in 2016. I had a sick feeling in the pit of my stomach that Hillary Clinton was going to win, but to my great elation, she wasn't. And just the look on the media people's faces was just priceless. It really did remind me of 2016. Like, they were absolutely in despair. They just could not believe it. Their face was in their hands. It was just absolutely pure gold. It was priceless. The other thing that was quite funny, Vincent, was the next day there was a surge in internet traffic to the New Zealand immigration website. There were Australian leftists who were so distraught over the election results that they were seriously considering moving to New Zealand, in the same way that the American left were seriously considering moving to Canada, of which the vast majority never followed through. But it was just extraordinary times here, Vincent. It's amazing.
So when does the left, when do the Labor Party in your country, the far left progressive Democrats in our country, and that type of atmosphere around the world, when do they basically say, you know what, there's nothing we could do anymore with our propaganda? We're not winning these wars through the political scene. Now we're going to have to take things to another level. And when will they actually begin the release of domestic violence within their own countries to bring about chaos and confusion for, you know, just to stop the victories that are coming from the right? When does that actually begin to take place in your understanding?
Well, they're starting to play hardball now. As you've probably already noticed, violence is further down the scale. It inevitably leads to violence. Leftism always leads to violence. But it's a bit further. There's a few points down the scale. There's a few things that are happening now that we are seeing on the road down toward that path. But what is disconcerting at the moment is the big tech companies, the Silicon Valley corporations, that are shutting down free speech like there's no tomorrow, extremely concerning. And for example, one of the news that came out yesterday was that Facebook, it has been revealed, it's been confirmed that Facebook keeps a list of conservatives that are deemed potential hate agents. In other words, you put that in inverted commas, hate agents. So basically, I'll just read Breitbart were the one who broke this news. They broke it in two reports, one in April and the latest one now. But it basically goes to show that they are identifying personalities to be investigated, not only for illegal conduct as promoting violence, but for allegedly association with any designated hate entity, designated hateful ideology or hate paraphernalia. Some of the names were left-wing, but most of them were right of center. And some of those names included, some of the names included some of the many ones that were banned recently, such as Laura Loomer, Paul Joseph Watson, Alex Jones. Then there was Milo Yiannopoulos, and there was also Tommy Robinson. But here's the other thing that's really concerning. Breitbart's latest reporting revealed that at least two more mainstream figures also made the list. Conservative commentator Candace Owens, who basically is the face behind the Blexit party, the Blexit movement, who basically, along with who heads up along with I forget his name, but is part of Turning Point USA. I mean, she is a dynamite, and she is probably the left's most feared personality from the conservative movement, because she's a black woman, and she, you know, I mean, as far as intersectionality is concerned, she's already two parts of their minorities. So Candace Owens is on that list, and Bridget Gabriel from Act for America. Bridget Gabriel is she is the Lebanese American who fled Lebanon to come to the United States because of what Hezbollah had done to her family. And so she fled Islamic terrorism to come to the United States to warn people of the dangers of Islam. And now she finds herself on the hate list. Extraordinary times. Candace Owens said that my Facebook page has been suspended for 7 days for posting that white supremacy is not a threat to black America as much as father absence and liberal policies that incentivize it are. She said, I am censored for posting that poverty rates in fatherless homes. Extraordinary times. Bridget Gabriel tweets, freedom of speech must always be protected. It's not the First Amendment for no reason. She says, the founders knew this had to be something that was protected. Otherwise, men consumed with power will try to silence their critics. The founders predicted the modern day left. And she's absolutely right. So this is what is a major concern at the moment. The fact that Facebook is becoming so brazen in their attempts to silence us conservatives. About an hour ago, I spoke with my friend Stephen Solomon from Murfreesboro in Tennessee. Basically, along with his radio co-host Dawn, they have a show called Dawn and Solomon, which is from the Nashville area in Tennessee. He has a personal Facebook page, which he has been building up over the past, two to three years. And he garnered approximately 20,000 people onto his Facebook page, which he basically used to share conservative views, in which he was talked about issues why, you know, the Constitution is important. He would talk about, you know, about free markets, talk about the importance of freedom of speech. He would talk about, you know, why Americans' laws need to be followed. And because he discussed these things, including the importance of Christianity and why Christianity makes such a difference, his page was completely deleted by Facebook. Completely deleted. 20,000 followers gone. And he got in contact with Facebook, and they said, listen, we'll look into it for you. And they came back saying, well, I'm sorry, but your page violated our terms of service agreement, our community standards. And as a result of that, his page is completely deleted. He's not the only one. My other friend here in Australia basically had a Facebook page called Advance Australia Aware, which had approximately 40,000 followers, and his page wasn't deleted outright, but it was basically shadow banned, so nobody could actually see it. even if you posted something on it, no one will be able to see the posts. So this is going on. Facebook is becoming increasingly brazen about what they're doing, as is Twitter. And just also, as another side note, Pastor Vincent, so is WordPress. Now, this is extremely alarming. WordPress basically has a hosting. They also offer hosting. So basically, there are some websites that you see which says which has their domain name, and then it says .wordpress.com. For example, there was creepingsharia.wordpress.com, and because they were posting, they featured a lot of content on their websites that was keeping the Islam to account, following what was going in the regard to radical Islam. WordPress decided to take down their entire website. WordPress did that with that. They also did it with another organization called Muslim Statistics. Now, Muslim Statistics actually follows and basically puts together statistics in regard to Muslim immigration and to the devastation that unmitigated Muslim immigration has done to Western Europe. So this organization basically keeps databases of statistics in regards to that. And as a result, WordPress have shut them down. So we're seeing Google, we're seeing YouTube, we're seeing Microsoft, we're seeing Apple, because Apple have removed some apps from their app store as well, including the big social media organizations, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, have all joined forces. This is a coordinated effort to shut down conservative voices. And in the words of my friend Dr. Bill Warner, he said that all this that is going on, the left are deliberately grooming America for the 2020 elections. They are grooming America for the 2020 presidential elections.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to join, you know, that litany of different organizations that are aligned right now this morning out of Rome, accounts tagged Hate Trump and I Hate Trump are part of a coordinated campaign to undermine U.S. President Donald Trump that has emerged on social media site Instagram. An independent study has revealed the photo sharing app Instagram, which is owned by Facebook, said it was investigating the report that had already removed some of the profiles it highlighted. Malign online attacks against Trump's opponents have been well documented, most notably in 2016 presidential election campaign, when Russian trolls allegedly flooded social media sites to undermine the Democratic challenger Hillary Clinton. Well, Italian analytics firm Ghost Data says the U.S. president is now facing similar illicit tactics, albeit on a limited scale, with false profiles being created and coordinated online attacks organized to spread a virulent anti-Trump message. And it says we have uncovered a small operation that is very likely part of something bigger, said Andrea Strappa, the head of research at Ghost Data, which has previously published reports on online counterfeiting and malicious botnets. Now, I heard this morning, and what it really is an attempt again, as they drill down some 350 suspicious accounts, where this online movement of everything you just said, and it's global, which is very interesting to me, how they're just doing everything they can to malign the president. And I have to laugh, Daniel. One of the ads they showed on the television program, I was watching One America News, and they're the ones that reported on this. You're not going to see it most of the time in the mainstream media, but one of the things was a big picture of Donald Trump with a burning buildings behind him. And it says, for thousands of years, Christians have warned about the Antichrist. And then when he comes, they vote him to be the president of the United States. And so very clever. And I mean, it's crazy out there, is it not?
Yeah, it certainly is.
All right, so where do you want to go from here? Where do you want to go?
Well, I just got to say that, and this is You know, the left are very good masters of the tactic of deference. In other words, they defer, they accuse you of the very thing that they do themselves. For example, you know, there was a George Orwell's 1984. You know, the left hilariously tried to imply that George Orwell was writing about the rise of Donald Trump with 1984. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculously, patently stupid to suggest that, because it's the left are the ones who are the authoritarians. The left are the ones who are infamously totalitarian in their nature. The left are the ones who are re-engineering words. They are changing words, and even such as hate. You know, hate now means if you disagree with the left. You know, it's the same with love. They've re-engineered that word. They've re-engineered the word tolerance. They've re-engineered the word inclusivity. You know, and then they make up words like Islamophobia and homophobia. All these are invented words that they have come up with. And it's just, you know, it's just like the whole thing with Newspeak, you know, war is peace, where the words that used to mean something now mean the complete opposite to those things. And this is exactly what they are doing. They are completely, they are waging a linguistic war in which they completely are changing the words, because they understand that if they can control the words, they can control the language, and therefore they can control the discourse, and then can control the nation. That is their agenda, and it is absolutely frightening. It is absolutely Orwellian in the true sense of the word. These are the people who George Orwell warned about. It is the left, absolutely lock, stock, and barrel. You know, the fact that even when you had the Coventry school kids, the kid who smirked at the American Indian, the fact that he smirked made nationwide news. He was guilty of, in fact, even in 1984, there's a word for it. I think it was called, I forget the name of it, but there was even a word that referred to people who even looked the wrong, who looked the wrong way. You know, so this is where we are fast heading towards, because people need to understand, once you remove God, the barrier to totalitarianism is removed. You know, Christianity is the bulwark to totalitarianism. This is why Christianity stands in the gap between Sharia law and communism. Christianity is the antidote. Christianity is the answer. It is the Christianity is the purpose and the backstop to prevent totalitarianism from rising up. And unfortunately, the left is doing everything they possibly can to do away with it, which I think, in my view, an absolute tragedy. You know, I read this a quote by Daniel Webster, one of your founding fathers, and he says this: if religious books are not widely circulated among the masses in this country, and I do not know what is going to become of us as a nation, he says. If truth be not diffused, then error will be. If God and his word are not known and received, the devil and his works will gain the ascendancy. If the evangelical volume does not reach every hamlet, the pages of corrupt and licentious literature will. If the people of the gospel is not felt throughout the length and breadth of this land, then anarchy and misrule, degradation and misery, corruption and darkness will reign without mitigation or end. Wow, how prophetic is that?
Yeah, it's extremely prophetic, and it really ties into what we were saying at the very beginning of the broadcast today, that there's been such an avalanche of propaganda that has been spewed out over the minds of the masses all over the world, And unless the light of the gospel, the truth, is spoken, men's minds will literally drown in perdition. That's what Paul told Timothy, that men would drown in perdition, this backsliding thing. So the question is then, since the gospel, obviously what you just read, the true gospel has not gone forth, and that's why the world is in the corrupt condition that it's in today globally and growing such, with a growing persecution against that light and that truth. So then the only truth, in my understanding, that can possibly be presented at this time to anybody that's looking for truth, and we know that Amos said the time would come that there would be a famine of hearing the word of God and that type of thing, and people would be running to and fro, what's the word of the Lord? And all they're getting is lies and deceptions and watered down things. So in my understanding, Daniel, and you could straighten me out on this if you think I'm wrong, it's quite okay, anybody can, but I believe that the only truth that can be presented at this moment is the prophetic truth of the inevitable collapse of nations, the rise of a global one world government, the persecution against the ecclesia. I don't see it turning around by nice stories and watered down gospels and feel good messages. I believe we've gone to the point of no return. I believe we've passed the point of no return. Even though we have victories and we're involved in these squabbles, I cannot see any particular reversal. So God says in his word, when you see these things begin to come to pass, know that it is at the door. And I'm referring specifically to the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. And everything that leads up to that, everything that happens during that, and then what follows, ultimately, our great hope, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the truth that I believe needs to go forward is we've come to that point where if you have an ear to hear, you need to prepare. You need to watch, you need to pray, you need to live your life as though today could be the last day upon the earth. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, England at one stage went down the road where they were virtually facing a French Revolution. I mean, England could have been, could have gone through a horrific bloodbath, very similar to the French Revolution. But thank God there was a man who stood up and preached with the power of God upon him. And that was the man called John Wesley. John Wesley and his brother Charles Wesley, God raised these two godly men up. And it was all thanks because of a strong Christian mother. John Wesley's mother was a very strong Christian woman who prayed with him incessantly. At every given opportunity, she would pray for her sons, and she raised them up to be godly men. And these men were the one who stood up, and with the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon them, they preached repentance, and they brought England to her knees. And revival ensued. You know, I think about that and I'm stirred. I'm stirred. I'm like, God, let your spirit come and may you stir upon men and women of God who will take a stand for your nation in these last days. Because it's not going to be any, how can I say, fluffy movement. It's not going to have, you know, trendy preaching. It's not going to be the, you know, your best life now preaching that's going to turn America down. No, we need the preaching of the great preachers. You know, I think about Pastor David Wilkinson from Times Square Church. I mean, he had that voice that would call the nation to repentance. You know, I was listening to one of his messages last week, and boy, when you hear him, like your spirit trembles within you, you know, you find yourself grieving over the fact that, and mourning over your sin. I mean, this is the preaching that we need to see recovered it within the United States. The kind of preaching where when you hear it, you are struck down and become mournful over the state of your sin and cry out to the Lord. This is what needs to happen in America. We need a movement of holiness and repentance. And of course, holiness and repentance are two topics that you don't hear hardly anything of in the church today, which is a real tragedy. But we, if anything can happen, we absolutely need a great movement of the Holy Ghost and power. And if I could just quote to you a quote by Frank Bartleman. He said, "The depth of our repentance will determine the depth of our revival." He said, "The depth of our repentance will determine the depth of our revival." And boy, isn't that the truth? This is something that we so desperately need because, you know, Trump, God bless the man, but he cannot make America great again. You know, only God can make America great again. You know, we hear about MAGA, and I believe in MAGA, but not make America great again. I believe make America godly again. America has got to return back to its Christian roots. And it's very interesting, Pastor Vincent, with what we are seeing happening in America. And this is the thing about the whole end times, because a lot of people get turned off by end times because of all the doom and gloom. But the good news is that there is a lot of really exciting things that is very positive for the kingdom of God going on. And, you know, God's pouring out his power on his people in many different ways, but it's always through one particular context, and that's the context of persecution. You know, the world at the moment, the Christianity is heavily persecuted. And the British government came out with a report a few weeks ago saying that in some parts of the world, Christianity, the persecution of Christianity has reached almost genocidal levels, which is extraordinary. It's happening all over the world except for the West, where we find ourselves very secure, very comfortable. But here's the thing. We are a handbreadth away from a socialist government. Never, ever, ever forget that. And if I could make it even more sobering for you, not to scare you, but to just highlight to you what's going on. The Nevada have just signed a bill that was passed by the state Senate into law, and basically it says that his state will have moved the national popular vote movement 6 votes closer to effectively nullifying the Electoral College as established in the U.S. Constitution. That, Pastor Vincent, is a major, major, major concern. Now, there are 15 jurisdictions which are predominantly blue that have signed on to this, which also includes California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, the District of Columbia, Hawaii, Illinois, Massachusetts, Maryland, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Washington. So that we are getting very, very, very close, you know. So basically, their collective electoral vote total comes to 189. So the compact requires a minimum of 270 total pledged electoral votes to go into effect. So should the Nevada governor sign the bill, that the total will edge up to 195. So these are all warnings that America needs to heed, because if America continues to go down this path in rejecting God, then it will inevitably lurch to the left. And when it lurches to the left, you can count your bottom dollar that not only will your constitution go, but capitalism will go. You'll be living under a socialist government, and Christianity, it's just a matter of time before Christianity will be outlawed. I mean, if you can see some of the movements and charades of the LGBT movement, they are banning Chick-fil-A out of airports for the simple reason that they are Christian organizations. So this is why we need to be on our guard. This is why we need to pray. This is why we need to, praying is only half of it. We definitely need to pray, but we also need to get to action. We need to raise the alarm. And we raise the alarm, you know, some people say to me, Pastor Vincent, well, what's the point? Isn't all this going to be going south anyway? I mean, isn't it inevitable that everything is going to go towards a one-world government and everything's going to go towards totalitarianism? And isn't it inevitable? And if that's the case, then why are you trying to stand up and do something about it? What's the point? Aren't you just simply shuffling deck chairs on the Titanic? And the answer to that is, for us not to, is for us to effectively cease being salt and light. That's the truth. For us to not take a stand in these last days is for us, it's for the church to stop being salt and light. If we ever stop being salt and light, the church will lose her voice. And when the church loses her voice, the world loses her conscience. And this is why it's so critically important that we need to speak up. We need to speak up. And it's not because we hate anybody. It's not because we hate people. In fact, one of my favorite sayings is that we fight not because we hate those in front of us, but because we love those behind us. We fight not because we hate those in front of us. We fight because we love those behind us. We are fighting the culture wars because we love our neighbor and we understand that we are our brother's keeper. We understand that we have a social responsibility for the welfare, for the good and welfare of our fellow man. We don't want them to go through the suffering of living under either communism or Sharia law. We will fight to the death. We will fight. And I'm not meaning, by the way, when I say that, I'm not meaning violence. I'm saying we will fight because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We will fight. We will move. We will maneuver. We will do whatever we possibly can to prevent the collapse of the Christian framework that your nation, that the Republic of the United States was built upon. You know, we must always remember that the founding fathers put the kingdom of God first and then they put politics second. We can't have it any other way around. You know, we can't be fanatical and zealous about politics and putting the kingdom of God second. It's not going to work that way. The kingdom of God, Christ and his righteousness and his kingdom must always come first. And out of that comes a civic and a duty towards our fellow man, in which we would do our best to ensure his freedom and his welfare. And that means speaking up and taking action and to ensure that that happens.
Well said, Brother Daniel. And as you're talking, I have two things I want to share, kind of put everything into a perspective where we need to understand right now that there are two parts that are at work. And one part is the temporary, and that's everything we're talking about, political upheavals, wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, plagues. You know, all the turmoil going on in the world today is one part of the paradigm that we have shifted into. And it's very real. And we talk about end time events and we talk about the wild man and we talk about, you know, an impotent gospel. And we talk about, you know, the lack of conviction through what's happening today and the dangers of that. The other part is what I love what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because he's talking to a church and he's talking to every one of us today as well. And he's talking about how important it is that each one of us be accepted with the Lord. And in verse 10, he says this in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And Daniel, what I hear in this admonition of the apostle is that, you know, there are wise virgins, there are foolish virgins, there are Christians that hide their lamp under a bushel and whose salt has become unsalty. And you were talking about, you know, being salt and light in the earth, and that will always be the responsibility of a Christian, male and female, young and old. It will always be the responsibility, because at the end of every one of our lives, we are all going to give an account for what we did in our bodies, whether it's good or bad. Yes. And Paul said he knew the terror of the Lord, and he was hoping to be accepted of the Lord. Yesterday, we were reading in Hebrews chapter 10, how that we are not of those who draw back to perdition. It's talking about an apostasy, a falling away, but of those who move forward into the saving of the soul. There's never a right time for a Christian to, you know, to back out of the spiritual warfare that we are engaged in. Yes, there are political battles, cultural battles, but there is a spiritual battle, and the devil is trying to snuff out as many as he possibly can to get people to throw in the towel. And we just know that The word today must be spoken in this temporary world. It's not always going to be the way it is right now. Things are going to change. Jesus told us what would be. The book of Revelation is clear, and you need to be ready for it, because those very things that are happening in this temporary world are designed by the devil to steal your eternal value in heaven, to make you believe something that's not true. When you were talking about John Wesley, I could not help but think how, when he preached, what they were preaching was the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this candy-coated, watered-down gospel today is not producing the fear of the Lord that leads to repentance. It is, I could feel good and God loves me no matter what I do. And so the world is just consumed in this dark cloud, and the light of the true gospel, I agree, must come forth. The Davids out of the caves of Adullam must come forth. The Josephs out of the Egyptian prisons must come forth. There must be a blinding light of truth and reality from the perspective of God that would awaken and enlighten people all over the world to the reality of where we are. Daniel, I fear that if somebody turned on a light switch right now, the very best of the people that call themselves by the name of God would find themselves but briars and thorns. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. And again, we need to remember that, you know, if you were, see, many Americans aren't really aware just how much their nation has slipped, because they are a part of their nation. I mean, they eat, sleep, and breathe within their nation every single day. It's like, I remember there's a saying, you know, it says, if you are going to ask somebody what water is like, you don't ask a fish. You know, you don't ask a fish what water is like, because, you know, they live in it. And it's the same thing with the, with America. See, and I guess in some ways this is part of the reason why I guess God has kind of used me to come to America and speak on these issues. And that's because I'm an outsider, and I can see a lot of things from the outside looking in. But that said, I'm also a Westerner as well. So again, you know, that's another perspective. But I will say this, like, as an Australian, Australia is incredibly influenced from America. Like, you really have no idea. Like, we have American shows on every night on our TV. I mean, we have some Australian shows, but for the vast majority of them are American. There's so much of the American life that has permeated into Australian life. You know, like, I mean, we originally were a British colony. In fact, we still are part of the British Commonwealth. And there's a lot of that is infused into our identity. But there's a massive influence from the United States. If anything, I guess Australia is the child of Great Britain and America in many ways. But just focusing on America, and I know that we're kind of running out of time, but again, like I said before, if you were to ask, if you were to ask anyone what water is like, you don't ask a fish. And see, America is, it doesn't have the self-awareness of just how far it has slipped. Now, you know, Jesus says, consider the height from which you have fallen. Remember, he says, consider the height from which you are fallen. In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, you need to, as a point of reference, you need to remember where you have come from, you know. And when you look back and just to see just how innocent and how wholesome American culture once was to where they are now with the tsunami of the most hardcore pornography, you know, like this needs to be a massive wake-up call. It needs to be a massive wake-up call, but America is asleep. Americans have become sedated. Americans have become completely, they're in a state of stupor, unable to see from where they have come from and the seriousness of their condition. Like I said before, America is a handbreadth away from becoming a socialist nation. You know, I think that's sensationalist, but it's not. It really is not, because you just got to look at the statistics of your young people. Your young people are being captured and it's not just because they go to college and get captured. The culture itself is bad enough. You know, there are even some young people that go to these progressive churches and become captured. So it's everywhere, and America is in desperate need of a revival. I mean, this is where our faith needs to get serious. We need to shake off the stupor that we're in, and we need to come before God and say, God, set me aflame. Use me. Help me to be a voice to our nation. Help me to speak your truth. You know, I think about Leonard Ravenhill, who said, quit playing, start praying. Quit feasting, start fasting. Talk less with men and talk more with God. Listen less to men and listen to the words of God. Skip travel and start travail. This is where it's at. We really have got, I mean, if we are to see the United States come back, if we truly want to see America great again, then we need to see America become godly again. And that means coming to a state of a place of repentance, you know, and where America begins to understand the beauty and of holiness and holy living. And this starts with the church, and it goes down from there. So this is where we really do need to be praying and fasting for.
Amen. Daniel, we've got a call coming on the line, and I just want to say this. In 1 hour, I'm going to be heading over to Kerm Radio, and I believe the revival you're talking about is going to take place in homes across this nation and around the world. I believe God's going to call his people out because they're confused. The whole system of Babylon, yeah, politically, socially, religiously, is confused, and God's people need to be brought back in to a place where God could separate them unto himself and teach them the things that are going to help them in the days we're living in. So many people are just kind of wandering. Let's take this call real quick. We got about a minute left in the broadcast. So sorry out there, caller, but thanks for calling in. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. What's on your heart?
Well, Pastor, what you just said there at the last second was what I was going to say, and that was good. That was eloquent. When you turn on the light, most of the Christians would be like cockroaches and have to run and hide, because of the iniquity that's in their hearts, because of the sin that is still dwelling within them that they think they've dwelt with but have not dwelt with. And you're 1,000% right. It will be in the home, because these 501c3 corporations, when they start getting attacked by the wild man and then by the government, it'll be in the homes. That's where it's going to lie. Have a blessed day. Thank you.
Yes, amen. Excellent. Well said. Thank you for taking just a brief moment here. What I did was I actually turned the wrong button off here, and I think I lost my brother. Daniel, I'm going to have to say goodbye for now. I want to thank you once again for calling
God
into the broadcast.
You
did an excellent job.
It's
we love you.
Pleasure.
We'll see you when you come to America in August. We'll talk more about it next week. Shalom, my friend. All right, we have got to go. I am heading on over to the Kerm Radio in about an hour. We're going to talk more about these things. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Remember, right now on OmegaRadio.org, Patricia Joy Xavier is leading a Deliverance Christian Bill of Rights roundtable discussion. That's beginning right now. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.